Time to get ready for the Larry and Needles Show.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Larry and Needles Show. Needles isn't here. This is kind of a special episode. I got my brother Nick here. You often hear us talk about No Shirt Nick.
Yeah.
Here he is.
Oh, wow.
And crazy, he didn't want to come on the Larry and Needles Show for the longest time because, you know, he didn't want to lose his employment.
But then I got shit canned anyway, so here I am. All of that corporate kowtowing I did all for nothing.
Well, it happens.
Yeah.
I did that too.
Yeah, that's the way of the world, unfortunately.
You do everything for those bastards. You miss funerals, birthdays, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, when they don't need you, it's like they never fucking knew you.
That's it.
It's terrible.
That's really it, you know. But, you know, I was thinking about it. I mean, it's like...
Here, you want a water?
Oh, sure. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you... And it's not like I'm bitter. I mean, I'm glad I did it for the amount of time that I did.
I got to do this light. Yeah.
Because it set me up to actually...
You learned a lot, too.
Yeah, you learned a lot, you know, and it's like...
See how much better the picture got when I unscrewed that
light bulb? Oh, yeah, that's perfect. No, I was thinking about it. It's like, yeah, now I'm just a rocker, but really, if I was just doing one or the other, I wouldn't have been really that happy, you know, if I gave up everything
right.
for corporate. I never did. And then now that I'm out of it, it's like, well, I'm glad I was making that money. But basically, you're in there and, you know, you're not really having a social, you know, they say, oh,
yeah.
You're not having any social interactions for real. You got to learn shit continually on your own dime and so to stay abreast of technology.
What do you mean on your own dime?
Well, you know, they, you know, in the beginning, they used to maybe put you through a training course here and there, like back
so
in the early days.
So you had to pay
days.
For that?
If no, you never
it,
had
like
to.
A learning thing? Or?
You never had to. Well, yeah, you had to pay for it yourself in the end, but really you just kind of learn on the job. But to stay abreast, they always wanted you to work in some new technology that was trendy, that was sometimes didn't last very long,
right.
sometimes it did. And how do you learn this
so
shit?
You gotta learn all this stuff.
Yeah, you're putting in not 40 hours
time.
But 50, 60, 70 hours a week. I mean the weekends that you work, getting up in the middle of the night doing all this shit. And then you're right, the second that
go behind the camera, please. Man, behind the camera.
Oh, that's okay.
Joe,
yeah.
Bring this up.
Yeah, not right this second.
No.
We're actually doing a Larry and Neal show.
Hi,
okay.
Mary.
Good, how are you, Nick?
Good.
Happy birthday.
Oh, it's not yet, but thank you. Yeah, yeah.
28th,
yeah. A
couple
go days.
On Sunday?
Yeah. It's Tuesday, but let's shoot for Sunday.
Okay.
I'm supposed to record with the boys, Catachronic Sunday.
Will Jennifer come?
On Sunday?
Yeah. Maybe.
You mean you didn't see her when?
For her birthday.
Oh.
A couple days ago.
But we were at my mom's.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
kind of.
Well, we were. Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, well, her birthday was on a Monday, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we went out, just me and her. Yep.
Cool.
But yeah, that was cool, so.
Okay, Mary.
All right.
Love you.
Love you too.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like. It's pretty lonely, even though you're in a corporate setting, you know, and then you're in these meetings.
Plus, everyone's out for blood.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's willing to work a lot of the
mm-hmm,
Indians
mm-hmm.
and such, they'll work fucking 90 hours a week.
Yes,
or whatever.
And for
and
a lot
no
less money.
And,
yeah. And so culturally, it was a rough ride. I mean, it's rough riding technology and staying abreast of every twist and turn, but then, culturally... I mean, I've worked at places where I was the only token white guy in a sea of Indians that were right from, you know.
Needles would love that.
Yeah, I know. He's a big fan. But, you know, and you know what? And I mean, I loved the work ethic. The people were very nice. Everything was, you know, it was a great experience in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no ill will or bad feeling about it. I mean, if I were them trying to get out of a third worldish country.
You'd work for fucking 90 hours, too.
To them, this is like easy street. Exactly. So
people are shitting in the street
in
India.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know.
Needles would be able to tell you because he's got a map.
Is it right to be, you know,
shit.
Is it right to be working like a slave? Maybe not, but is the American way the best way now where people don't want to do jack shit, you know? And it's like.
Definitely not.
Yeah, it needs to be somewhere in the middle.
And that's where it comes in with these guys are saying, you know, we need to get some foreigners in here. Some people that are smart, and it's like, well,
exactly.
Why can't we use our own people and blah, 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 and they're getting mad at Elon Musk. First of all, Elon Musk is a fucking foreigner.
Right.
And second of all, the reason is because they took all the fucking incentive away.
Yeah.
The kids don't want to learn because they're getting rewarded for mediocrity.
Nobody
wants to excel. Nobody gets any, you know, nobody shines.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the engineers are these Indian kids and Chinese mm-hmm. kids mm-hmm. and Japanese kids that fucking valued learning.
Yep.
Our value is on joy and comfort and fucking luxury.
Yep,
American way, you know.
Yeah, and pronouns and feelings and things like this. I mean,
that's
going
to go away, though.
This is late stage democracy. You know, it's like we've worked hard, and we actually succeeded. Now, you know, we've taken our eye off the ball mm-hmm. and concerned with all of these social things, and you know,
right,
but really what I'm hoping, and I think this is still true, is that although we don't have the heavy hitters as far as the STEM disciplines, you know,
right,
I think we still have the American spirit, which is
absolutely
one of, you know, creativity,
but it is crumbling.
It is, but boy, I'll tell you, you know, I really feel filled with hope, and even still, you know, and you know, we've been down these roads, and I just think, like, you know, hopefully we're hitting our rock bottom moment where it's like, oh, we gotta wake up a little bit, you know, but.
Well, it's not, here's what it is. It's like a saw blade. Mm-hmm. It goes down, it gets bad, and then it gets a little better. And then it goes down again, and then it always swings back and forth. But every
trajectory
time
is still
downward.
Still downward.
Yes,
you think.
And
yeah.
So it's a downward thing, and we're not at rock bottom yet. Although mm-hmm. every time you're getting to the end of one of these saw blade tips, before mm-hmm. it swings back, it seems like, what the fuck is going on? People are crazy. Fucking, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, and. So it will probably get worse. But, yeah, we are probably at the tail end. I mean, what is the actual trajectory in history for civilization to reign supreme or to be, you know, jiving properly mm-hmm. before everything crumbles? Everything crumbles eventually.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, the Egyptians had it going on. The fucking Romans had it going on. The Greeks had it going on.
Sure.
Everybody had it going at one time.
Well, we've been on a 200.
And then they fucking moved down.
I mean, we've been on a 250-year run so far. I don't think that's very long, to tell you the truth.
No.
I think those other empires lasted longer, you know.
Yes, they did last longer.
Yeah,
like
so
Rome was at least like 500 to 1,000 years.
Yeah, I think we still have a while to go. And even if we are on a downward trajectory, we're still the leader of the world. So even in our death,
still better.
And the death could take a long time. You know, even if we're in our final throes,
well, that's because
that could still take many, many years.
Just because all the best people always want to come here because they do want to have the life of luxury.
Yes.
And fucking, you know, fuck a beautiful girl and live in a great house with a fucking hot rod car and be cool and all this shit.
Yeah.
And so they even fucking start to deteriorate when they come here.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. It's funny. I played at a private party for some rich...
this weekend? Or
no, this was over the summer. Uh-huh. And, you know, I pulled up and, I mean, this paved driveway going along, all white Mercedes, white this, you know.
Yeah.
I was just
tricked
like...
tricked out.
Yeah,
the
house was mad. I'm like, shit, I should have charged more, you know, but... Uh-huh. It was an Indian guy, you know, and then I saw his wife, you know, this real smoking hot blonde lady.
Was she?
And and I'm like, look at this guy, man. He's living the American dream. Yeah. But he loved it, you know, and he was cool.
Oh, man. Indians are great.
Yeah,
about
they were partying hard, too, you know, drinking hard. And I was like, dang, man. You know, I said, well, what business?
They're not Muslims.
No,
they're fucking party.
They're not. And, and I'm like, well, what business are you in? He's like, we're in pain management. I'm like,
oh man.
Interesting.
Yeah. Super fucking moneymaker.
Yeah, I had no idea what that all entails.
That entails probably pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he was doing well, very well.
Damn. Well, people definitely like managing their pain here in the USA.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, you know, and it's like, that's why, like, you know, I look at that life, and then I'm gigging only, and like I'm thinking about.
Think about that guy, and then now think about these motherfuckers that are homeless, living in the tent, and how cold it has been the last couple of days. Like homeless Tommy.
Yeah, but he wants to live in the tent.
Yes, he does. But I wonder what they feel like when it's
now.
Sub-zero, like you know, minus 10 degrees and shit.
Right.
It's fucking cold. It's super, super cold.
Yeah.
Today I went and got coffee. The car was not even warmed up by the time I was coming back.
Yeah.
I was already home and it still wasn't warmed up.
Mm-hmm,
I was like, fuck, is it cold.
Yeah.
The ice on my window and shit, I couldn't scrape it off because my scraper's fucking disrepair.
No doubt. Well, and now, like.
So, wait, how many Indians were at the party?
It was mostly all Indians, you know? But there was some neighbors that came, doctors and lawyers and things, but
lots of
fucking
money.
And a lot of the Indian guys.
Did anybody
tip
you at that one?
You
probably get more tips at the dive bar, right?
No, you know
not
what?
Really?
It's so
when
weird.
When they do tip you, it's a hundo.
You know what? I get some good tips. Up in Wisconsin, actually, but for some reason, I made like last night I played in Barrington, which you would think is a nice, rich neighborhood, but you know I was in this place and it was all it was all guys, you know, and young guys, and you know they all got that
attitude.
Well, they got an attitude, but they all look like they're homeless and destitute.
So
like
nobody
truckers
looks like they have money at all.
It looks terrible, yeah. And it was mostly guys. And I made a joke. I said, you know, I'm really glad that there's only guys here tonight because the last time I played here...
I accidentally got laid.
Yeah, women were hurting themselves trying to get to me. You know, I was standing around the other corner.
Did that go over?
I kept like harassing the shit out of these guys, and then at the end they were getting drunk and rowdy, and they're shouting out all of these songs: Todd Rundgren, blah blah blah, Long Train Running, Doobie Brothers, and then this one guy.
Did you know any of them?
You know what? Steely Dan. I played a Steely Dan song, but then you play the song that they want, and then they don't even clap anyway. So then they were, you know, they're getting into it. Now the beers are kicking in.
Sure.
And,
that's what
you
they
know,
need.
Yeah, and I'm having a good time. You know, it's a collegiate vibe.
The old adage, the more you drink, the better we sound.
Yeah. And it's a very collegiate vibe. So then I'm, you know, they're yelling out, you know, 50 Cent.
Did you play 50
Candy
Cent?
Shot. Yeah, I was playing such a wide variety, you know, and and I'm like, you know what, I like, these are good suggestions. I go, accept your suggestion. I go, what is it? What are you talking about? This guy
was
saying...
Was it?
Texas by something blood, and I'm like, I don't like the sound of that. I don't know what that is. I'm like, next time I come here, I'm going to get on everyone's suggestion except this guy. I'm like, I'm not doing it. You know, I was busting the kids' balls.
Nice.
We were laughing, but no, you know what? And then I'm there, and you're bringing your gear in. on the cart. It's freezing out.
Yeah.
You got to wind away to the side of this building where they have one of these elevators.
This is
American? Yeah.
Okay.
It's on the second floor, and the elevator is literally like about the same dimension as this,
it
locks
case.
On the bottom. Yeah. So you got to pull in with your cart, stand in there, and then hold
not
the button.
A lot of room.
Yeah, you got to hold the button the whole time, and it goes up like
sure.
this. It's going this slow.
Yeah.
And you're going up the side of an outside building. It's a glass shaft. You know, you're like.
So you could see.
Yeah,
everything?
And it's terrifying. You're feeling like it's gonna like
drop.
Literally, yeah, and you got to pull up on a little
oh,
ramp.
God.
But every time I go there, the thing is always locked, and then they gotta like. So I got to run upstairs anyway, tell the people to unlock. And I'm always running late. I got to tell the people to
unlock it.
They unlock it. Mm. Then it still doesn't work. Now you're messing with that for 10 minutes in the
man.
Cold. So then you get up there, and now the door on the other side isn't opening. It's just it's a crazy experience. Then I pull my gear in, and I'm setting up, and... But you know what? All the time I'm doing this, I'm like, it still beats being in an office.
Yeah.
But still, you know, it's one of those things where now,
yeah.
because I saved that money in the corporate life, I'm able to live off the cash flow of just being a musician.
Yeah.
And it's
I did
a crazy
it backwards.
Life.
I did the straight musician part first, so that's why I have no money, and now I'm too fucked up to...
Sure.
Never get a job, but
yeah.
here's one time. Check this out. We were on
everybody
tour.
Does. Everybody thinks one way is the answer and the other way is not the answer.
Sure.
They're both
well, I didn't
bad.
Think that.
Yeah.
I did have jobs.
Yeah.
There,
yeah.
Of
yeah. Yeah.
But one time we're on tour in Europe, and this elevator was so we got this hotel because sometimes the venue. Because
yeah.
part of the deal is they got to put you up somewhere. Sometimes they would have an apartment.
Mm.
Sometimes they'd want you to stay at the fucking venue itself.
Oh, man, that sounds
that
polished,
was horrible.
Dude. Yeah.
But sometimes they would have, you know, money if it was a rich place. And I think we were like in Munich or something.
Mm-hmm.
And this fucking hotel was so old and they had an elevator. And we're like on the third or fourth floor, which is like a very tall hotel for where we were. And... Not many rooms, though.
Mm-hmm,
I think it was a shared bathroom for each floor.
No,
it was fucking weird. But
shades of a hostel, yeah.
Yeah, the elevator was so fucked. One person had to get in first because it was so small, or two skinny people. So me and Phronsie, the girl, went in. We went up to the top, and then Matt and, I don't know, maybe it was Steve, put in the all the backpacks, like, because we each got our fucking toiletries and shit.
Yeah.
And then that came up, so then we unload them when I get to the top.
Yeah.
And then they each came up one at a time. And I'm like, man, this is fucking the most fucked up elevator. And, you know,
it'd be faster building a staircase with the raw lumber, yeah. Oh, man, one time we used to play at this place
but
in the city.
But it was funny.
Yeah. We used to play at this place in the city. It had the most rickety elevator that usually, they don't use the elevator. Well, they wanted us to carry our shit up three flights. And I remember the last time I played there, I said, fuck it, you know, and I took my gear down in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm loading up my car and I just got it all packed
up.
I
thought I told you not.
Yeah, and I'm driving away and the guy comes. You broke the fucking elevator. You, I'm like, see you later, pal. And the guy came running out after me. I'm like, fuck it, man. Get the fucking thing fit. You're making enough money. I mean, yeah. It was on Clark Street. It was called the. It was an Irish bar.
Do you remember when we
rowdy
played,
as shit?
Remember when we were making those recordings? Maybe it was Steve Spapieri, and we would pull in like we were. Playing at those big fucking nice studios downtown
yes,
in the city.
Yes.
And we pulled the van into the elevator. Remember that place where we took the van up to the second
vaguely.
Floor and pulled the van into the thing so our van was in the fucking studio with us.
I,
that was pretty fucking awesome.
I seem to have
place
a vague
was
memory
huge,
of
remember?
That. Yeah.
With the it must have had 40-foot ceilings with those big, thick curtains that were on those railings on top.
I wish I wasn't so smoked out all those days. I have so little memory of anything.
Really?
Yeah, you know what? The marijuana
fucked you up,
fucked me up royal, man. And, you know, but I don't know if I would remember. I don't know if I have a...
Remember that anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that
know?
Stuck out to me that we were like, wow, that, this is really big time.
That,
because
now that
look
you're
at
saying
this place
it, yeah.
that we're fucking pulling our van into an elevator and we're jamming and you could look over and 150 feet away, our van is sitting in the same room with us.
It seems
it was
like
amazing.
It seems like I should be able to remember something like that.
Yeah, well, you know what I forgot one time was we were playing at this place in Elgin and I guess it was me, Steve Fink, and Jody Smith standing outside, and some fucking drunk guy walked into an open manhole and, like, died. And he really or fucked himself up bad.
Sure.
There was ambulance and fire truck and sirens. And they're going, do you remember that? And I had to pretend
that
I
did.
Because it was such a big scene that I didn't remember. And I'm like, wow, fuck, am I fucked up.
Was I there at that one?
I don't... No. Yeah, you must have been, because it was Maelstrom. You know, we were playing. Remember when we would play those gigs?
Yes.
And those dumps in Elgin?
I just remember.
Were, like, just so ghetto.
Yeah, I remember Nick Coolman running that guy all the way across the room.
Yeah.
With rage.
Yeah. He was running people across the room with rage all the time.
Yeah, yeah. He still has a lot of rage.
Does
yeah.
he?
Yeah, I talk to him from time to time. I mean, I like the guy, but yeah, he's, you know, it is. It's like when you get older, you get to be bitter and, you know, angry about shit. And I find.
Well, you know what? No, you got to just realize that you're nothing.
Yeah.
Like it says in the Bible, and Mike Tyson said it on a thing. He's like, when somebody was asking him, I forgot what interviewer it was, you know, how do you control all the rage or how do you not get mad when people taunt you and stuff when you're out? And he's like, because I realize that. It doesn't matter because I'm nothing.
You're not only nothing, but when you really realize that, wow, I'm alive, I've got my health, I'm breathing.
Yeah, there's
you know,
no need to get mad because this.
Yeah, I used
other,
to,
you know,
I used to be a lot more hot-headed.
Yeah.
But now that I've been like, you know, I was used to being the richest guy in the room and this and that. Now that I'm humbled, you know. It's like people that I worked with never knew that I was a rocker, and all the rock people never knew that I had a...
Yeah,
so I love the fact that, you know, when I come into a place, you know, oh, you know, and I'm like, they're like, who are you? I'm like, I'm the band guy, I say, you know, and I always say band guy, even though I'm a solo guy, because it's like all the connotations of that. I'm like, I don't care if you think I'm this, that, the other thing, So I just, you know, humble myself, and people get crazy with me now, and before I would have been pushing guys off, but now I just, I go with everything.
Speaking of getting crazy, so back, okay, Killian was still in the band, Catachronic, back in the early days, and we played live on some, one of these, a YouTube TV show that one of these guys had. It was either G-Bay or
JB,
something
Heart
one of those guys, and, so we played
guy.
And we're getting all these comments, you know, because there was a lot of people watching and there was all these really good comments and you guys are great, blah, blah, blah. And then there was this one guy starts commenting, this sounds like the kind of music that that someone would listen to in their little red sports car going over to their boyfriend's house to get fucked in the ass, you know. So he starts connotating that we're faggots and you know, and... And me and Tony and Bobby were fucking laughing our asses off. And I'm like, we can't even show this to Steve because he will start a war with this guy.
Yes. He's one of those guys.
You know, with about four more comments.
Sure, sure.
Like, you know, you guys are, you suck and all this
sure,
shit.
Sure, sure.
And it was funny, but Killian would have fucking been pissed.
Yeah, you know what's funny?
We couldn't have even told him because he really would have wanted, he would have been really wanting to kill someone that night.
Yeah, man. You know what? It's like, and he's always getting kicked off of Facebook and stuff. And
Steve,
yeah. Yeah, he's raging. You know, and that's the thing, you know, it's like people are practicing rage more and more on these social platforms. But really, when you get people doing something like that, hating on you, that's a sure sign you've made it. And
really,
you know, it's good anyway, because I don't know if it's good, but like,
well, it's like the Beatles, man. All those girls loved them, but there was still an equal amount of people that wanted to fucking kill them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well, you know,
everybody
what
can't like you.
I've been posting regularly on YouTube.
Or it's jealousy or whatever. Yeah. You know, you just gotta whatever it is.
Right. Once you reframe the thing, it's like it's okay. But still, in all, I posted a video the other day.
That's how we don't kill each other.
Yeah. I posted a video the other day. It got like almost no views initially, but one guy gets on there and he's going on this 4-comment rant. It's like, doesn't even make sense. It's like he's drunk. And really, that kind of screws up the algorithm, though, when you see all this just negative stuff, you know? And I actually reported it as harassment, you know?
You did?
Yeah, and then I hid the guy from the channel because I'm like, you know what? And then I learned that I could actually filter out certain comment on your channel, on your YouTube channel. Yeah. So
I went in and put in a
bunch of keywords that will automatically block the comment. And even if someone's posting like a URL of their own shit, I don't let people post URLs of their own shit. I'm like, you know what? Even though it doesn't matter, even though I don't really respond to the negative comments directly, it's like, maybe I could filter some of this noise out because, yeah, the algorithm will say, like,
really?
Oh, there's a lot of negative shit going on here. This isn't good, you know? So
that's
it'll still
Larry
fuck
Neal
you up a little
does
bit.
So good.
Well, it could be, you know.
Thrive on negative comments. our main comments are mostly people correcting us.
So you should have no end of the comments. The comments are good, you know, but no, you know what? And it's like, well, that's the whole thing anyway, you know, like it's, you see people online getting enraged about everything. It's like, it's perfect. They rage as if their rage is justified. No, your rage is never really justified. Yeah. You're just a rageaholic in search of a reason to be raging. And if you are, you know, there's a never-ending supply
of
things
to
be raging
to
about. Yeah, on Facebook and Twitter.
Here's the other thing, though. That's pussy shit anyway.
Nobody's
going to rage. If they're going to rage to your face, that's a whole other scenario.
Exactly.
Then,
now, if someone rage into your face, then you want to sidestep that person.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what else, you know, is my theory is no grown man, unless they're, you know, trying to market some business from a grassroots level, no grown man should be expounding on any social platform. If I wasn't trying to grassroots market my own endeavors, you would never see me on any social platform. I don't have the need to espouse my political views. I don't have the need to what I've had for dinner. But you know, you're trying
to comment on it though.
Yeah.
Really. Because here's the thing, nobody actually
you're
cares.
Having fun with this, but you know, but really if you weren't doing this, you wouldn't be on.
Hell
you're not
no.
fucking with Facebook. You know,
I've never
what
fucking
grown
typed
man,
one sentence on
exactly.
That.
What grown man fucks around with Facebook?
And that's even the hard thing about, like, the band and stuff. I have 3 Facebook accounts that 3 different manager-type people in my life through 3 different bands have said, you got to get on Facebook. What do you mean you're not on
that's
Facebook?
That's why I got on Facebook.
So then I get on
Is it on Facebook? Is it on Facebook? I'm like, geez, all right, I'll put it on Facebook.
I don't even bother going on there at all. I got Instagram. I really very minimally advertise my band. I feel like a fucking ass. It's almost like
It's cringy. It's cringe
Nobody
mountain.
Nobody cares.
Here's the other thing. You know what? I wrestle with this all the time. Being on Facebook or any kind, doing anything for your band on socials is, I call it climbing cringe mountain. You know, you have to climb the mountain. Yeah. But here's the thing that I realized is that when I'm getting a bad response, that's good. When I'm getting no response, that's also good. There's so many people that are lurking.
Mary's getting a phone call from her sister.
Oh, it's Beth.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many lurkers that are just watching you. And it's like, my thing is like, hey, I'm out here just trying to, you know, I'm not talking nonsense. I'm not espousing my views. I'm just out here making mention of something that I'm doing. And the other thing that I never do is invite or cajole or say, oh, you know, I go and see your band. Why don't you? I never do that. I just say, here's where I am. It's informational only. I never invite. I never show any kind of, you know, because I know it's like this is all bullshit. Yeah. I'm doing this little solo career, so I have to do the grassroots marketing. But if I'm doing it, I want to be as least cringy as I possibly
like
can.
Like this punk rock tacos thing I go to is fucking 100% probably Facebook promoted, and you know, they get hundreds of kids there, and it's like, okay, that's pretty wild. You know, they can get 100 kids there almost every
That's
gig.
Awesome, man. Yeah.
And it's like, it's big time. That's all from just the computer.
Yep,
so
yep.
Nobody knows. They know who I am now, but at the beginning, no one knew who I was because I never posted. I never got on there because they're all getting on there saying, hey, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so I never did that. And it's weird, but I do like doing this.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking funny. And, you know, and I think it's funny when I come in mom's house or, like, you know, Christmas or whatever, Easter or mom's birthday. Mm-hmm. Everybody's watching it already, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
nice.
No, you know what? I've watched a lot of episodes and, you know, I've laughed with you guys. I've laughed at you guys.
That's
you know,
the thing.
But you know what? And it's like, at least it's a little bit real, too. Whereas maybe, you know, maybe it's coming off a little harsh sometimes, but we're in this homogenized YouTube world where everybody, so make sure you like and subscribe and blah, 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 blah. And they're all trying to be this cutesy thing and
I
do
all
this
bullshit.
I should
say that. I never say that, but like right now, I
but
should
don't say,
say
it.
Yeah, like and subscribe. But mostly what I just say is tell your friends and, you know, or even tell, mostly you should tell your enemies.
Yeah.
If you think someone's an asshole or something, you should tell them about our show.
Yeah, but you know.
No, I'm kidding.
You know, but whatever.
Tell your friends.
Whatever it is, here's, like any creative endeavor, do it not because you're going to succeed or fail, but just do it because, you know,
you want to do it.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Be
to be creative and to have fun. Like, oh, I'm doing this original band and nobody's checking me out, and yet they're going to see cover bands. I see guys whining like this online.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, if your band is good, you'll get somewhere. If it's not, you know, do you ever hear a restaurant say, well, you're not coming and supporting me. We're selling raviolis. If your raviolis are good, there'll be people there. If they're not good. Eh. So quit
well,
whining about it.
That's the climate of the day.
Yeah, whiners.
Well, that too, but also that people, unless you're at a specific venue, like Punk Rock Tacos or, you know, some place in the city that's specific and people want to hear originals. Every other fucking single place in the suburbs and most of the outskirts of the city, they just want to hear the familiar shit.
That's
and dance
it.
And sing along. And they don't want to use their brain. They
not
don't,
at all.
They want to be fucked up. They want to drink. And they want to hear something they already know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's the problem. And so these guys that complain about the thing, if you're playing in your original band, and that's where you're coming from, then you're playing at the wrong venue, because there is a place probably that the guy won't care if only 12 people show up, and he digs the music, and then you'll build something up. You know,
that's
how that works.
Oh yeah, and you
that's what would happen when we would go on tour, man. Every time it was more and more people. You know, it was like, fuck, this is awesome. But
yeah,
we would expect that on the very first fucking time out. We would have said, oh, this sucks. I'm fucking selling my guitar.
It's any artistic thing, if you're going to even get there, is a slow grind.
Yeah.
And, you know, did Picasso make paintings because, or Van Gogh,
was he
you know?
Even
he died
during Lifetime? No, right?
Picasso was, but Van Gogh,
yeah, Picasso,
you know.
Picasso, he was commissioned to do big sculptures.
And Michelangelo was famous.
Yeah,
I mean, he would take commissions and then not even do the work because something else would come up. Yeah, or he'd have a bunch of apprentices students. Roughing out, getting them close to where he could come in and
fine tune that.
Yeah, he had a studio going with
like
employees.
Andy Warhol.
There was another guy that painted these massive dimensional oil paintings, and he was very prolific. And he also had guys, you know, prepping and starting the canvas off.
Nice.
And he would, you know, it depends, but the bottom line is like Van Gogh, he died penniless and without any fame, but he was going to do that no matter what. This was what he did, you know what I
yeah.
mean? Or even Charles Bukowski, the famous poet
sure,
and author,
sure.
you know.
They're not saying, I'm going to do this to be the most famous
exactly.
writer in the world.
Exactly.
When they start out.
I write a bunch of songs that
Fucker
nobody
head.
Gives a fuck about,
sure.
but it's like, am I...
By the
I
way,
wake
I'll
up.
Do some shameless. I'll do some shameless advertising for you. Nick's got a new album out. It's called Yellow Means Go.
Yes.
Referring to yellow, the color, and go, step on the gas, get the fuck out of. You know, like too many people slowing down at the yellow light.
Mm-hmm.
They should just punch it right through.
Or even figuratively, if you're
yes.
not getting a hard no, you
yellow
know, keep
means
keep
go.
Going, baby. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. But
it's a real good album. It's some fucking good rock and roll.
But yeah, this is an age of like where, you know, people are so inauthentic in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's
hard to be authentic.
It's hard to be authentic.
When everything is so old and so quickly.
Yeah, yeah. So really, you just gotta be about your business. And my theory is. If not every club wants me, great. If not everybody's heard of me, great. If not everybody has come and seen me, that's good because that means there's still somewhere for me to grow
go.
Up. To. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I love it. People, you know, see me all the time. I never heard of you. I've never heard of you. I'm like,
yeah.
why should you have heard of me?
Right.
You know, like I'm just a guy out here and I don't want to be... the most
once
popular
in a while,
anyway. I just want to have
my band.
Yeah,
but that's pretty cool too.
I just want to have gigs and be booked. You
I'm
know?
Trying to fucking. I'm in this band now. We're called Choke on It. And,
nice.
and
is this your Lombard guys?
Yeah.
Or wherever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you
they live in
and
Lombard.
You came up with the name obviously,
yeah.
and they said we'll go with it.
Well, yeah, it was kind of a fight to get that, but
they didn't
they
want
didn't
that.
Think it was good, but. You know,
what were
everyone
some of the
else
other names?
Thinks it's funny. I can't get into it now. But we're just trying to get together a half hour to play at this punk rock tacos joint.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
were playing on February 21st,
mm-hmm.
and we practiced yesterday. And, oh, man, they want to practice tomorrow.
Mm.
But we were sounding pretty good, so
yeah.
I'm kind of excited about
it. And you play
it.
Guitar?
Yeah. So some of the other bands were, because of Killian, we were going to be called the Killbillies.
Oh, that's
cool.
a good one.
But of course, there is a band called the Killbillies.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too good to not be taken.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one he came up with? And I'm like, again, that's too, let me think of it. And I'm like, again, that's probably taken. He's like, no way. And I'm like, dude, it's too good.
Mm.
There's so many fucking bands now that if you come up with the magic, like it's amazing no one was called Catachronic.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, bands like The Jam, they're in it really early.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
no way you can be called that. All those really good, simple ones are
yeah.
gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you got The Who, and then they had Them, and then what are you going to be?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Hey, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool, man. So you guys are playing at the punk
yeah.
Taco
yeah.
place. When is your gig?
February 21st. It's a
is
Friday.
It? Oh, it's a Friday.
So
shit.
We're going to have to do the Larry Neal show on another night.
You'll be preempted. Are you going to do another show tonight with the
yeah,
Larry Neal?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is Kiki and Mike going to be
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
Nice, nice. Yeah, no, I wrestle with that a lot, you know. It's like, but really, I just look at it as, this is... what's been put in front of me, you know, to
yeah.
do. This is my job. I go
it.
At it. I, yeah.
You like
follow
it.
Through is my
you're
mantra. Yeah, you know, some days it feels lonely, and you know, but I'm like, it's no more lonely than working in the corporate
well,
setting.
Let me tell
you
the
know.
Truth, man.
And you're
it's
always
no
having
more
to advance
lonely
your
than being in a band.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I would mm-hmm. be on tour. I'd be in these beautiful places, and I'd think, man, I wish I was here with someone I liked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Here
right.
I am. I wish my wife was here mm-hmm, or someone else. Mm-hmm. But and not these with... assholes that I'm with right now.
Yeah,
so a lot
yeah.
of the time, I would be off. I'd either be looking for drugs or, mm-hmm. or trying to chat up mm-hmm, some chick mm-hmm. or whatever. And ignoring those guys. And, then, you know, you spend a lot of time with them in the van. That
I got,
was when most
I got
guys
back
swapped.
On drugs because I was spending too much time
alone?
With people.
Oh,
virtually
people
alone.
On drugs?
I was in the... No, not that they were on drugs. I was spending time
I
with...
I thought you were talking about Gary and
no,
Brian.
No, I was straight with
those
my
guys.
Whole tenure with them. But I was running the band, and I made my own decisions. No, when I was in the corporate world and, you know, did that couple years with the other band.
You needed something to unwind.
Yeah,
with.
I was with, I had the game face on in the corporate world. Then I was with these guys who really weren't my friends, it turned
right.
out. And I was, it was like a hug.
You're just
in
a guy.
It was a hug in a hugless world, so... I fell back into that bad habit, you know, but now I just want to raw dog it.
Yeah.
I call it raw dogging.
You hear
it
that, kids?
Life.
You got to raw dog it. Don't
yeah,
do drugs.
Yeah, and you know what? And like, I think, like, you know, is life, you know, if you don't do anything, if you're not eating for fun, if you're not drinking, smoking, getting high, doing anything.
Right.
Is life boring? Yes, life is
boring.
Really,
it's supposed to be so fucking
exactly.
carnival.
But that's another fundamental tenet of American society
yeah.
is that I need to be
full
constantly
circle,
yeah.
motherfucker,
I need
back to the U.S.
And if I'm not eating, drinking, smoking, getting high, then I need to be scrolling
something.
On the phone. You know, I need to be playing a game. How about just being bored? Because really, the
that's where the creativity comes from.
You got it, man. You read my mind. That's when you are bored, that's where inspiration
absolutely.
Lies in the boredom. Yeah, you know it,
you
man.
You can't be thinking of a song or painting a picture while you're scrolling through
you
your
can't,
phone.
You're right, and you can't even begin to let your mind wander and dream about what you want to do next unless you're fucking bored.
Absolutely.
People would be like, well, what are you doing? You're daydreaming. I'm like, yeah, because daydreaming is important.
I know
you
Niels
know?
Gets mad when I show this because he thinks I'm autistic. But this is the painting that I show all the time of Trudeau. Now he's retiring or quitting or whatever. But Nick painted that.
Right. When I was
gave
daydreaming.
It to me for my birthday.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this guy and, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm just sitting there bored, and I'm like, oh, God, he would look perfect with a little Hitler mustache. And look at that. Now you got that beautiful piece
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, I love
there.
That.
Yeah, no.
That
you
was
know,
in lieu of a birthday present. He wrote on the back of that, it's like my birthday card, like, you know, happy birthday,
mm-hmm,
I love
mm-hmm.
you, blah, blah, blah. And this card is your present or something like that.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, that's what's fun, you know, like, I got some small watercolor sheets now to paint
nice.
The hand cards and stuff like that,
yeah.
like for Christmas and stuff. But, no, you know, getting to that, you know, exactly. Like now, instead of doing something where I'm entertained, I'll force myself to do something creative. And not that it's, like, going to result in something, a masterpiece.
Right.
But I find the more I flex that muscle, the more the ideas come.
The
and
better the chance
yeah,
of getting a masterpiece.
Yeah, just start whether you feel like you want to or whatever.
It's
like
the
I have nothing else
Pete
to do.
Pete wrote a lot of songs before he hit Behind Blue Eyes.
Exactly. You know,
yeah.
I had someone asking me the other day, they're like, oh, but, you know, I was showing them some of the outlines for some of the video ideas I have coming up. Because
nice.
I've been posting a little more religiously, just doing like you're...
I'm getting
inspired from what you're doing.
And I saw your last video, the little thing talking to the people about how to succeed in the...
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, right? You know, and so... Each
what was
one,
it, like 10 minutes or 12
I
minutes?
I think I'm doing 15 minutes, yes, but each
cool.
one, it's like I'm like, oh, I totally didn't do that right with the lighting. Oh, I had the sound jacked up. Oh, I did this wrong. But even doing like three in quick succession, I'm like, learning.
Yeah, but you know what else, though? That looked pretty professional. I saw you had your little magnetic microphone on.
Yes, that's...
And you were using your... What's
gimbal.
That
it's a gimbal. It's a gimbal. Yeah, it's a DJI Osmo.
That's a fucking nice
Pocket
camera.
3. Yeah, oh, so here's the story with the camera. I brought it to a gig, and I'm raging up. It's following me. I got it set in back of this table. This is on a Sunday. And everybody's... It's set up on a stand. Uh-huh. You shouldn't run directly into it. And this guy
ran directly into it.
And it was a guy that I didn't like the look of even from the jump street. Yeah. You know, one of these guys, and I shouldn't stereotype, but you know, something to do with.
No, we're all about stereotyping.
I know I fit right in, unfortunately, but it's something to do with, like, you know. Everyone wears ball caps nowadays, just this guy, and he's looking at me like I'm a dumbass, you know, and I'm looking at him like, and sure enough, the guy plows into my stand, the mic pops out, because I have it in a clip, hits the ground, breaks the camera. You know?
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I never buy the protection package usually, but I did in this instance. So I called up the next day. I'm getting a new one sent to me for $35 only.
Oh, man.
$35. So
you got lucky.
But in the meantime, I was so distraught, I bought another one. You know, I'm like, these things are too fucking fragile. So now I got two of these.
Well, here's the thing,
but I
man.
Think
you
I'm going to use
really,
them.
Really, really think about where you're going to place that motherfucker.
Well, here's the
to a gig.
Well, no, I need to use gaffer's tape and tape it into the clip, you know. That way, if they hit the stand, and even if it rocks, the stand might not go down. The guy didn't knock the stand over.
The thing fell out.
Yeah, he bumped it. He hit it so hard. Mindless, and this is what gets frustrating is I don't even mind, I don't mind a lot of things. I don't mind people being mindless. I don't mind.
Yeah, me either.
I don't mind going to somewhere and actually having everybody in the place ignore me, because the way I look at it, I'm a background character in the story of their life, and they're a background character in the story of my life.
See,
I don't need to interact with
this
background character.
And you're
going to
get paid,
character.
Though, so now the thing
exactly.
about the gig I'm going to play is...
Stay in the background, though.
The
don't knock
I'm
my gonna shit
The gig I'm
going to
play is there's going to be kids right up in the front. They're going to be moshing. They're going to be fucking going crazy. Probably people jumping up onto the stage.
Nice.
And, you know.
I love it.
And
you know it's
so
going
to
be
have
rowdy.
To fucking, yeah.
But that's cool, too.
But you're ready for that.
I don't mind getting rowdy either, you know, and guys interact with me, and sometimes a guy will touch my bass and, you know, do whatever.
That's a little forward.
Really, I you know what I do now? I just look at them, and then I make a comment, and I just say, you know, this isn't TV, you know, I'm a real person, this is reality, you know. I have some fun with it, but no, you know what? I don't mind people yelling things out. I don't mind them getting rowdy.
Now,
just don't knock my camera over.
Yeah, back to
dumbass.
The camera. These other extra microphones.
Yes.
Are they workable on another system?
Yes, it worked perfectly, yeah.
Do you think we could use them for this?
I have a transmitter, so yes, we could, you know, there's a dongle, and so... The audio.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I don't know what you got going here.
Well, we plug it into the board.
And then that sound
that.
Card runs into where? Here?
Into the computer, yeah.
Got ya. So you know what we can do is instead of, you know, this dongle that's going into the computer mm-hmm. with a USB, you would just plug the transmitter for the little microphones into that thing. Exactly. And then theoretically, it would transmit to that, and then that would transmit into here, and I think you'd have to select it as a sound source. And, yeah, these sources here.
So you'd only
be
able be to
an
use
audio
those
input
microphones.
Source.
You couldn't combine them with another set?
Depending on how many, you
like
know.
Like if you put them through the board, I'm
But
thinking.
You got multiple USB on there, so maybe you could select multiple sound sources. So one of them would be... That transmitter.
One of them would be the Focusrite
right.
Scarlett.
And one of them would be the transmitter that I have with the two mics on
I don't
there.
Know if you could pick two things, but
you
I'm
probably,
not going to look at it.
Yeah, well, you know, that would be a little technical challenge, but we could look into that. But, yeah, I like those mics. And then, you know what's cool is that I...
And they are fucking nice.
Oh, yeah. And I do my editing in Premiere
okay,
Pro.
Okay, so now could you run with the camera? Could you run more than two mics with the transmitter? It's only two mics per transmitter.
I believe so, yeah. But, you know, and I'm doing some bass instructional videos now. Mm-hmm. So what I'll do is, and this, there's got to be a better way to do this as well, but I want the, you know, so I'm playing along to, like, tracks, and I want that to be pristine. So I'll record with this, and I will record the audio of me playing into Reason. You know, I do a little clap to sync up the audio, and then in Premiere Pro, I just line those up.
So your shit is perfect.
Yeah, so my voice.
Sound-wise and your voice is there.
Exactly. So you'll see that on an upcoming video that, you know, I'm having music come through, but I'm also just talking into this and that. Yeah. So
that's what Needles and Kinky, well, Kinky might realize. Nah, Needles realizes, but it's a lot of work being the producer, running all the shit.
It really is. And so that's...
Most fucking shows like this have the guy, some computer geek, off in a, you know, he's working his ass off the whole time, and the stars are out there.
And changing camera angles for you once in a while. Like, we've been on this static angle for a while.
You know what? Needles doesn't like when I change angles.
I like,
either.
This is a good angle for this particular episode.
Here we are.
Because it's just you and I. Yeah. It doesn't really need to be in much of a widescreen. Plus, people know then what you look like a little bit. Sometimes on the other show, you know, I know, it's like, they're like, wow.
God, are they horrible.
Switch to the wide angle. But no, and it's fun to just do something instead of scroll on your fucking phone, you know. And and have an unscripted, real conversations that aren't, you know, so predetermined, you know. There's not enough of this kind of thing in life. When you think about it, everybody nowadays, oh, okay, so we're going to get together for your... Okay, when does it start? When does it end?
Yeah.
How about just coming and letting it start and end whenever? You know what I mean? How about just doing something that's not scheduled down to the last minute, you know? And that's it. So I'm
well,
just...
Well, people have to do that, though, because nobody... You know, everybody's... feels like they're just so busy all the time.
And you know, busy doing what? I mean, not much, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
some people are doing shit, though.
People are over scheduled, and I mean, like, I just wound up here because my tooth, right? So I'm at this gig, I have an implant here, and I'm chewing a piece of fucking gum, and my tooth comes out right seconds before I got to start playing.
Oh, man.
And I'm just like, motherfucker. So even like the last gig I did where it's going great. People are going apeshit. The guy knocks the fucking camera down. Now I'm fighting not being pissed off.
Yeah, where are you playing tonight?
Tonight I'm in Barrington, Port Barrington at Broken Oar last night, and tonight I'm in Barrington as well at Moretti's, you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is a big-ass place.
Yeah,
it used to be Wool Street.
Food.
They do. And you know what? And exactly, like, I don't mind anything, you know. It'll be freezing, and they got this long handicap ramp, which is real steep incline. I got to drag my shit up in there, but...
I was in Moretti's with Sherry, Mary, and of course, and Virginia, and there was a guy that started playing piano.
Wow.
And
like a keyboard he had, right?
Yeah. And he's playing some similar songs to what you do and stuff, and he's playing, you know, a lot of shit that I would play, too.
Nice.
And I'm thinking, and this was a while back. And I'm thinking, man, I'm better than this motherfucker right here. And both Mary and Sherry agreed.
Sure.
Absolutely you are. And I'm like, this guy's getting a gig at Moretti's and he's only this fucking good on the piano?
Well, yeah, you know what?
It was blowing my mind, man. And people didn't seem to... You know, again, nobody seemed to notice. I was probably the only guy noticing that, like, he was substituting his own chords here and there and not quite playing things right.
That would drive me when I was
It drives me fucking wild
same,
when people
same.
Do that.
When I was in a
I
band
hate that.
Yeah, when I was in a band, that was the biggest drag is that it was like well learn the actual chords, you know. I'm like we were just doing things.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good, you know.
Yeah, no.
And then they would instead of going back and relearning it the right way, they would make me change what I was playing to match what they're doing. I'm like, let's just do it like the record first.
Yeah.
And then if you want to change it because it makes sense, then change it. don't start off changing it just because you can't hear what the actual chords are. Yeah, I'm a stickler for that.
Yeah,
me too. Yeah, but no, but you know what? And you're saying that, and it's like, I'm thinking, well, yeah, the pool of people that they have to choose from. I mean, they book these. They have a large chain, and I've been playing mostly all of them. But now, I'm so booked up in advance that I'm not going to have many dates available for them, unfortunately. And so, you'll see me drop out of the mix a little bit, and at least in the summer months, and then they'll have to put in some other guys who are, you know, maybe not as booked as I am, because they might not have it all together.
Well,
you know,
if they book this same fucking guy, hopefully he practices in between.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think you should, if you want to gig hard, you know, just for the fun of it, I think if you got your shit together, I think you'd be getting the gigs, know what I mean? And, you know, but, you know, you like working the band thing, and the band thing is fun.
Yeah.
You'll have to see my new video that just dropped.
Like all those demos.
The five pros and cons of being a bandmate versus being solo, and why I'm now team solo.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing about the band, too, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Tony and Bobby aren't perfect, right? But they're cool. They're
good. That's fine.
They're really
good. Guys that stay in their lane. That's a good
also,
thing.
But the demos I made with the drum machine, with me playing the bass and doing all the overdubs and show those guys, you know. Remember the first demos I sent you of those three songs?
I like
them. Re-recorded them.
Mm-hmm.
But even though the sound quality might be a little less on the band one just because of the volume we play at,
the vibe
it's still
is
better.
Good.
Yeah.
I was noticing.
It's still better even though it's not perfect.
Well,
we're
I was noticing
we're gonna
that.
We're going to redo them so they swing more.
Yeah. Well, I was noticing that. So you can do, you know, two things. You could bring the band recording up to snuff audio-wise, but you can also learn how to, like me, you know, like when I'm playing my electric kit, and then I have this, I don't know if you have Reason drums, you know, that might not be a module that you have, so they have this thing where it's like, you know, once you map the MIDI, when you play it on the kit, they have these rooms, they have room mics, they have overheads, Dude, you could choose from all these different snares, open bottom, mic top and bottom, this and that. I mean, adding distortion. By the time you're done with it, it's like, man, I got a real drum sound so quickly and easily.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's why I'm like, yeah, this isn't a real band, but at the same time, the hassle
now,
is so less.
We jam at Ryan's house. It's Ryan, the kid that's in my band, who by the way, gave me graciously that guitar.
This guitar is awesome.
I gave him a PV amp.
Tiesco.
And it needs some repair. And I was like, shit, I'll fucking fix that thing up.
Because those drums I have on that Yellow Means Go sound sufficiently shitty.
This kid Jason, his roommate, has, and we jammed at his house a couple times. Once, maybe. The kid has the V drums. I
yes,
can't think of the fucking name. The V drums, the really nice ones.
I had Rich's V drums
and
for a long time.
It's pretty cool.
They're fine. You know what I mean? It's like the V drum sounds now probably are improved, but I'm telling you,
he's got it all old.
Yeah.
This is old.
It might be old, but all you need to do is capture the MIDI performance, and then, like, I dirty it up to the point where it's like, those drums sound like shit again,
but
yet they sound
the
good.
But we use them to practice. No, we practice in his basement.
So they're great for that.
Yeah,
and you're not at an excruciating volume,
though. Still at an excruciating volume.
Wow,
they got that shit going through a fucking huge carbon PA that looks like we would have had when we were kids.
Yeah,
like,
old school
huge.
Shit.
Yeah.
But awesome. No, but, yeah, the speed of working with MIDI and, you know, recording in the box and, you know, every metal album you hear nowadays with the blast beats.
All MIDI sounds.
It's all replaced anyway. It's all quantized. It's all replaced. None of it is real. If you're making a real
studio. In the old days, do you remember Nick Coleman would have
triggers,
two bass drums, and we would have to get the sounds to match. Jeff was always trying to get him to be similar.
That's a thing of the past, man. I mean,
now they got the double pedal.
None of these metal guys making an album nowadays. I mean, the amps are simulated, the drums are simulated.
That's the best thing about Catatonic, the people. Nothing's simulated.
Everything's locked to a grid. The vocals are auto-tuned. The fucking harmonies are generated. I mean, so it just depends on how, you know.
Catatonic is off the fucking grid.
Even recording, you know, to reel to reel. And that, those are all things of the past, you know. I mean,
yeah.
But it's great because what it's done is it's democratized the production of music to where, you know, like My Yellow Means Go right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I got like something like 40-something thousand, 50,000 streams on that album. Right?
Damn.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
And
amazing.
You know, and you know what? And I didn't have to spend a dime to make it. And yeah. I released it for $49.
Nothing.
Well, it would have been nothing, but I wanted to leave a legacy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, so what? It cost me $49 to release it. But now what I'm doing, you know what I did? I made a playlist. It's called Raw and Rowdy Garage Rock Essentials. And I just have that album, all my hardest songs. I have Stooges, I Want to Be Your Dog, then Double Minded Woman from my album, then something by the Cramps, you know.
Yeah.
And then I put together a playlist that's loaded with my songs as well as garage rock
Cramps
classics.
And
yeah. And then I'm spending $5 a day on Facebook and Instagram ads, which are, it's like, I don't even look at it. It's just got the cover of My Yellow Means Go. And it's linked specifically to, Double Minded Woman. And I let the AI algorithm figure out who my best audience is. And they figured it out, and listening to the music and looking at everything, you know who they've come up with? People that are into psychedelics, astral projection, fucking all this crazy shit that I would have never came up with. Yeah, and these people are listening to the shit out of this thing. And
well, I'll tell you what, man.
And you know what? And $5 a day. So if you believe in an album and you have the wherewithal to spend $5 a day, you could get people listening to your shit. Now, the kicker on this is if this playlist begins to gain traction, I could become a playlist curator and then go on sites like SubmitHub and things like that and have people pay me
to come up with playlists.
To listen to their song to go, oh, do I want this on my playlist, which has now gained traction? So now I could make the money in order to fund the advertising budget the thing be a self-perpetuating wheel of advertisement.
You should be my manager.
Well, I'm giving it to you. This is the secret right here, man.
I need someone to do everything.
But you don't, you know, you got to do it, baby. You got to do this shit. This is how you do it. So the fact that I don't need to go to a studio, I don't need to go to a record label, I don't need to beg anyone.
You guys can't see on TV here, but this is quite a fucking studio that we're into.
Yes, it is. It is. It's tremendous.
You only get to see little corners of it here and there. But
yeah, yeah. But no, but you know what?
Place is amazing.
It's
all brought to us by Tom's Free Clinic Automotive and Veterinarian Services.
Oh, shit. No, I want you to go, you know, further into the box, you know, the drums.
Oh, I am. I'm going to start doing a lot more
go
demos.
Go into the box. Matter of fact, you could record him and still quantize the live performance if you need to, or whatever you need to do, you know.
How about this, man? All those drum beats I made were not, obviously, I made all of those.
And did he learn those beats?
I didn't even show him. I just wanted to see what he did first. I showed Robert.
Yeah.
So he would know what was going on. It's more important to me.
Yeah. And did he cop the bass lines that you wrote? Maybe not.
Not really. I don't know. He doesn't fucking seem to pay attention that much.
Yeah.
No, well, he's
It sounds good, whatever they did.
He did count the bases.
I like both versions, and I do like the looseness of the live version. But at the same time, yeah, you know, and we can mix that live version to make it sound
like
something.
Well, we're going to re-record all three of those songs. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's a fourth song that I didn't send you that Robert wrote called We the People. It's fucking really good. And I played bass, and he played guitar. So.
Yeah, that's so fun, you know? I mean, no, I mean, I'm listening to some groups now, man, like this Cosmic Collective and South Hill Experiment. It's like just so raw, and but yet jazzy. It's the new jazz, you know, J.D. Beck and Domi, you know, this kid. He's a monster on the drums, you know, and you just listen to their stuff and you're like, and you know what? And they're young, the kid's like 18. They're jamming with people like Herbie Hancock want to be like playing with them and stuff. And the guy Lewis Cole that I saw.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean you saw him, you know. I mean he's a machine, you know. He's laying. They're laying down shit.
There's some groove machines out there these days on the drums.
And he's playing with Mono Neon and shit, you know.
Mono Neon, that
guy can't miss, you know. But you know what's funny about Mono Neon, like.
Well, he doesn't have the commercial appeal.
He does not.
He's so niche.
He's so good, but yet when I click on his shit on Spotify and
it's
I go
to listen to it.
I don't like listening to it, you know? But now Lewis Cole, when I click on his shit, I'm like, this is like, sounds amazing.
But with Mono Neon, when he's playing with someone else.
He's awesome.
Yeah, like when it's some other band and he's sitting in, he is fucking killer.
He's the guy you want
on
bass.
When he does his own shit, he's fucking too crazy to fucking rein it in.
He's
more worried about how crazy the vocals sound.
Yes, it's you know what? He's letting a little pretension slide into the mix, you know?
How about that little fucking chicken wing necklace he had? I sent you that clip, right?
Yeah. But you know what? And this is where he's drawing inspiration from now. And here's my theory is that he's a tremendous introvert.
Yeah.
But he knows that he has to be this extrovert in order
to do it.
So he's like just running into it
that
like
bass
in a crazy
is fucking,
way.
If it wasn't
awesome.
A five string, I would have bought one.
Dude.
Just because of how it looks.
They're like 15 hundo, man.
I would have bought one.
Yeah, they're nice. They're nice. I mean, you know what? I got the fretless now, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to get a 5.
My direct sound.
Get an Ibanez 5, man.
My direct sound with the using the Mustang, the Fender,
I love
or
it.
Or Robert's Champ.
Yes.
No buzz.
Man.
I think that was your bass. Remember when we recorded that track on the direct channel?
Dude, even my top end, like $4,000 bass has buzz and shit when I turn up enough high end.
Yeah,
it's a piece of shit. You know, I did this last video with my Jaguar short scale.
Uh-huh.
The strings are totally dead. But, you know, I EQ'd it to make it sound pretty good. But I'm thinking of getting some noise canceling pickups in there because I like that little bass.
Yeah,
and it's fun
There's
to something play.
Something about those little fuckers.
Love this bass though.
We
man.
Have a Jag here, but it's full length.
I'm
you
not.
See
yeah, that?
That
one I'm not as fond of, but I love this Mustang man. Yeah. That is like I want that thing man like so bad.
Yeah, that is a nice one.
Yeah, I'm getting sick of my bass. I had to do a truss rod adjustment on the fretless actually.
Uh-huh.
It was buzzing out on top a lot. Yeah. So
even on a fretless.
Yeah, so I gotta do it a little bit more, but
okay.
But yeah, so that's why I was in the neighborhood today is this
tooth.
Yeah, they were putting it back in. The guy
So here's what happened to me, man.
Fuck man.
We're in fucking we're in somewhere. We're on tour. We're gonna be gone for a month. We're in Europe, in Germany, something like that. It was mostly Germany. My tooth comes out on the second day, one of my back teeth,
shit,
from
that's
a chocolate mindful. Reason. And so it broke in half, so I took the broken in half piece and I placed it back into the empty socket. And when I got back home, my dentist told me that was a great idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it didn't even really hurt. My tooth was already fucking rotten, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's Mom and Dad calling.
All right. Well,
but,
I guess this is a good time to
yeah,
sign
could be,
off,
could
man.
Be a natural breaking point. Hey, Larry and Needles show. Yeah. Wow, my debut.
I wish Needles could have been here for this episode, and Kiki.
I do and I don't, you know. It's hard to get a word in edgewise with Mike sometimes. He's a nonstop machine.
Yes,
dude.
And again, I got to thank Tom Street Clinic Automotive and Veterinarian Services for keeping us going. And thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
Peace.
Take care.
Later.